State Senator Jesse Green in the house.
You got, good to see you, John. You
got away from the legislature for a little while. Session, theoretically, on the calendar was coming to an end this Friday. And bottom line is, we're not done. We've got some things out there. We've got some holdout crowds. We got a few odds and ends to fix up. When I look at the overall budget comparison, about a $36 million difference between the House and the Senate. Visited with Representative Bain. He says that 36 might be a little hard to work through. It's a rather small number in the overall scheme of things when you're talking a $9 billion bill, though.
Yeah, so every session we come to this point where there is a difference in the budgets, naturally. So I think the highest I've ever seen was one year is about 70-some million.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we figured it out. We got through it. But you're right that there's a few individual pieces to this that are a little more touchy. $14 million of it is for paraeducators that last year we provided that funding. And some believe that we need to continue that. And so that's a big divide. If you remember earlier in the session, we were talking about legislative salaries. Well, that's got a price tag too.
Yep.
And so the House wants that more than the Senate probably, but with this education budget, and I'm really proud to be able to run that, the big issue there is the House wants quite a bit more for community colleges, and I just personally can't quite get to that amount. So I look forward to the negotiations. But then this week, as you saw in the news, we have a handful of senators that have blocked my ability to negotiate a budget,
They blocked a lot of them. Anyway, let's get to – I did want to ask about this point because we have had some things, and I know you were you were involved with leading some of these issues, some of the policy things. You've had pretty good luck this session. The ones you were really working on have been pretty successful. And I think you got to feel pretty good up to this point. I think, the pharmacy one, that was one I know you were involved with that as well.
With the pharmacy issue, I would say I was more of a cheerleader to get something done because we all know that rural pharmacies are really struggling. We've seen a lot of them shut down. And when you talk to the owners, they do not have a very good liking for what they call pharmacy benefit managers. And so we needed to create some transparency and reform, and many other states have done it for quite a few years. And so we have some firm data that we can see if this is going to raise the cost for consumers or not. And so it was definitely time politically to get something done. And it appears that something will. I think the House is going to be bouncing that bill back to us. Yeah. But it is a very complicated topic. And Mike Klemesh, Senator Klemesh, kind of took the reins on that in the Senate.
I know one of the things you've, and you kind of mentioned it in the past too, you have a lot of rural pharmacies. The big issue is, how can they be successful? You want them to be financially successful, but you also have to find pharmacists to fill them. I mean, guys, you've got a number of people that are starting to age out, and they're looking for somebody to replace them.
Yeah, the pharmacies definitely need help. And what the conversation was really coming down to is the $10.68 dispensing fee. Mm-hmm. And who receives that dispensing fee? Should a pharmacy like a Hy-Vee that has so many pharmacies and that's a big part of their business, should a big business like that be receiving that $10.68? When you talk about rural versus urban pharmacies, well, what's the definition of rural? And so this is where government steps in and starts picking winners and losers, and that's what's so hard about this conversation.
Really tough. Talk about some of the policy things you were able to get through. I know that you felt pretty good about.
Yeah, it's been an exciting year. Finally was able to get my vaccine notification bill through, and what that is it just requires schools, daycares, and also additionally this year compared to the original bill, it includes colleges and universities. And all that is they must disclose what Iowa law is in regards to vaccinations and exemptions. And it's neither a pro-vaccine bill or an anti-vaccine bill. It's just an honesty bill. And I want to make sure that there's an honest conversation happening between parents and schools. So that got to the governor's desk. I was really proud to file and help manage the Boone Speedway bill that concerns them.
I saw that. The governor signed that, by the way, I think, just this week.
And So it was good to be able to meet some of those folks down there at the bill signing that are involved with the Boone Speedway, and I'm grateful for the invitation that they gave for me to come hang out and sit in the crow's nest some night out there. And I'll take them up on that offer. But what it does is it creates protections for speedways from nuisance lawsuits. And what you're seeing around the country is a rise in that, where people are suing the racetracks for light, noise, and dust, things that are inevitable with a racetrack. But if the racetracks are following the law, I don't think that they should get sued for that.
Yeah, it was the nuisance related. And I saw the list that I said, these are some of the things that you really don't see the work that got done on it. But that's one that, you know, they had asked for your support on it. So
So I filed it in the Senate. It didn't go through my committee. And so I, Sherilyn Westridge ran it. So I just helped encourage her and the chairman of that committee to get it through. So
good. All right. Others.
Yeah, so divorce and college tuition, and so this is really personal to me. When I moved into Boone, my neighbor was telling me about her unfortunate experience through her divorce process, how the judge ordered her to have to pay for a third of their child's college tuition, and for one thing, it raised the court fees and her attorney fees in that situation. It just created one more thing that they had to argue about within court. And I think this day and age, when you have high divorce rates and high college tuition, I don't think that's a healthy conversation for people to have within the courts in regards to something sensitive like divorce. And it was first put into law in the 1970s. And at that time, college tuition was low and divorce rates were low. And so I was really proud to get bipartisan support on it, and almost had a unanimous vote. So I was really proud to do that for my neighbor. And then lastly, the biggest news item as far as a policy related topic, I was able to floor manage the U.S. Civics test that's going to be required of all students that get a GED or a diploma in the state of Iowa, that they will have to pass the U.S. immigration tests that immigrants have to take to become citizens. And it's really fun. If you get a chance, look it up on the internet and take it for yourself. I would say the average adult seems to get about a 60% score on it. And that's what's required to actually pass the test in high school. And so I do think it's unfortunate that when you look at some studies, just the lack of knowledge when it comes to our system of government. And I think there's some simple things like that you need to know to be a functioning member of society. And I think one of those things is a basic knowledge of government and how it works. And so I was really proud to do that.
Yeah, that was one that's been around. Senator Bain had been a champion of that too. But it's one of those where, it's going to be phased in, folks. It's not going to be like immediately.
It'll be the first time, if I remember the bill correctly, it's going to be the 2026-27 school year. And one thing to Senator Bain is it's interesting how politics change even within your own party, where the Senate for years was able to pass out civics requirements, but then the House would kill it because the House believed that this is just a unnecessary mandate on schools, an unfunded mandate, or whatever the arguments are against it. But then you get Chad Bain elected, and he was able to change some minds over there.
Well, it's one of those things, one of the many things that went on. So, yeah, you've had a pretty good year so far.
For me personally, it's been great. I've learned a lot, especially chairing this education budget. I should read The Art of the Deal here over the weekend before we start negotiations.
The one thing is, again, on the funding for higher education stuff, again, some wanted a little more in there. Again, you've only got so many dollars you're looking at, and what's good to best fit to go in? And you've got Regents institutions as well, don't you?
Community
college.
The Regents and community colleges are the biggest portion of that education budget. And there is some fear out there. I even heard some fear the other day that we were going to cut Regents. And I'm like, well, that's news to me. And I chair the committee. But the governor's proposal right now in the Senate is a flat, no increase right now. But I'm sure at some point as negotiations come together, and I still haven't received an overall target yet between the House and the Senate, and so I don't want to make any promises. To me, my philosophy is the community colleges represent their communities and the needs of their communities, and I think you get more bang for your buck putting limited finite dollars towards community colleges. And it's nothing against the Regents. I just think the needs of our communities and community colleges serve more of a purpose for a larger amount of people.
So, and again, those are just that's what we're dealing with today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the way we're going through with education stuff. And we've seen it move from community colleges, everybody going for four-year degrees or engineering degrees and things like that. And we're seeing it come back the other way, too.
And so, I do understand the Regents' concerns when kids have more options on the upfront. I mean, you got a lot of high school kids that are getting their associates by the time they graduate high school, which is amazing. And we need to encourage that. And well, that's going to be less enrollment at the Regents or the need for that. And there definitely is another philosophical divide with how we spend education dollars. You saw to me like I'm a little more fiscally loose when it comes to K through 12 funding and school choice and stuff like that. I want to make sure we invest in the upfront more so than the back end. And when I saw that we spend about $600 million to the Regents, I mean, you break that out per student, we're subsidizing about 12. Summer stats show that it's about $12,000 per student that goes to the Regents universities. It's like, when I was a kid growing up, I thought anybody that went to Iowa State was a privileged rich kid. And it's like, wait a second, isn't this backwards? Like, shouldn't we be subsidizing more on the front end? So,
well, we do have, we'll let you negotiate those out. That's sure. going to be one of the many things that'll be going on as we go forward. Obviously, the Senate. You have a little bit of, I'll just say it, you got a little bit of a roadblock getting to even budget negotiations because you've got a group that just absolutely said it's time. You got involved with some of this discussion, by the way. I watched you on TV.
Oh, I didn't know I was on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, when the president of the Senate says, come and visit with me here at the front desk.
Yes. Yeah, I went to the principal's office on that one. Yeah.
We do know that... they pretty much have said we want to do a vote on these carbon pipelines, and basically they're emphatic. It's not so much on the eminent domain, but it's using eminent domain for carbon pipelines.
Yeah, and this is the biggest topic that's going to shape how we get out of session. And I'm definitely part of the pipeline group. It's my bill that my personal bill at the House passed over to the Senate, and that's going to be the heart of whatever bill we pass. I do think we're going to pass something. So right now it's just being researched as to what the best bill would be. There's some differences between us and South Dakota. One is that we've already granted a permit. Whether we agree with it or not, that permit's been granted. And so is it right for the legislature to come in with a big stick and say, no, you can't do the phase one of the pipeline? That could put us in a lawsuit. Some people say it could be a $1 billion lawsuit on the backs of taxpayers. Is that really responsible? So what my bill and my philosophy is to I signed on to a lawsuit a year ago personally that deals with phase one. And I believe I didn't do that just for publicity. I did that for the merits of that conversation. And my bill deals with all future projects. I think that's a rational or reasonable approach. But then you have a handful of people in the pipeline crowd that want to pass legislation in regards to phase one. And so I really don't know how we get out of that situation. But to me, that definitely shows that something's going to happen. I just don't know what it looks like.
They're kind of holding you hostage so far, or at least the leadership. They're trying to.
And the unfortunate thing for me is, like, within that pipeline group, I'm the only one that chairs a massive budget. And so... it's one thing to block a budget before it goes to the floor, but it's another to block a budget when it's in committee. Yeah. And so that kind of rubbed me a little bit the wrong way when I'm trying to negotiate a budget myself. But
yeah. We talked about this before, with the fact that you had signed on that first lawsuit because you wanted to get that into court to get a determination on, is this a company, is this a commercial enterprise, or is this a public interest project?
Yeah, the heart of the lawsuit, it was trying to answer the question, is eminent domain okay for economic development purposes? And if so, when? So that's the heart of the question. Back in, I believe it was 2005, the Kelo decision said that it is okay, but it's a split Supreme Court decision. And so obviously it's not a clear black and white issue, but I can definitely speak for Iowans. I think I'm pretty accurate on this, that most people do not think that carbon is a utility. It's different than natural gas and everything else, and so it should not be given the same eminent domain privileges.
So, well, we'll see how that all works out.
Yeah.
What about the property tax thing? It's been very quiet here, but I'm pretty sure that people are still talking. I know when visiting with Representative Bain, he said he knows they're still meeting and still talking. Doesn't know if he says it's one of those things, the two extremes. Well, we're going to keep working on it, but are we going to get something done? And, you know, that's the bottom line. What's it look like on the Senate side?
Well, Senator Dawson has spearheaded a lot of the conversations down there at the Capitol. One blessing of us going into overtime and being distracted with some other topics is this is buying him time to work out hopefully a deal with the House. And if not, so be it. We'll let it simmer over the off season. We want to make sure we have a good finished product that everybody's happy with. So, I give it a 50-50 shot.
That's kind of what he did, too. 50.
If I'm like a weatherman and trying to make predictions here, I'd give it a 50% chance that something goes down.
Well, the big thing is, too, is that more issues come up, different things come up, and I know you run into this all the time. So, well, if this happens here, oh, what are the consequences over here? And again, got some challenges in there too.
I get that the taxpayers want relief, and I think we need to deliver some of that relief instantaneous. But one thing's for sure is the approach that we're taking is trying to curve the long term curve down, not cut, but mm-hmm. just make sure it's not as drastic. And at the end of the day, I want to make sure that we have we line responsibility up with accountability, and that those that are making the decisions are rewarded or held accountable for their decisions. And I'm so tired of the blame shifting that, hey, this is your state legislature's fault, or this is your school board's fault, or whatever. And we need to have a more responsible system.
Well, we still have that part going. Are there other things out there? Mostly it's just budget, or getting to the point where you can get into budget negotiations, I guess.
Yeah, it's all eyes are on the budget right now. I think most of the policy bills are done. Except for the pipeline issue, and so it's going to be interesting how we get out of here. And one thing to note too, with that pulse, whatever comes out of that pipeline issue, I'm pretty sure it's going to be the Greene County attorney's language. He's the one that wrote the bill for me, again, it'll be cool to get a finished product from our own district. So
we'll see. Yeah. See how it goes. I know you've got people on both ends of the scale here, again, where we are, because you've got people that have been, oh, this is, we need this for our renewable fuels, and on the other side, but it is not, you know, it's a commercial product.
Yeah, it's the toughest issue I've dealt with because it's not black and white, clearly. As clearly as some other issues, but nevertheless, I am convicted in my heart that carbon is not a utility. Now, part of my pipeline bill that I want is I want to create a corridor where you allow them more flexibility to find voluntary easements, and so so that's going to be my philosophy going forward. Is you just can't use eminent domain but let's make it easier for them to get those easements.
All right. So as we go next, we're looking next week. What do you do? I mean, are you just going to go sit down?
Well, it's
you going to wait until they call you?
This definitely feels like farming, where you don't know the weather's out of your control, and right now it's out of my control when we get back into session. So right now I'm going to run off some steam and go for more jogs, go golfing, and answer some phone calls.
Okay.
So yep.
And get out and do a little workout on the farm too?
Yeah, so I still make it up there a little bit. I'm full-time during harvest, but this time of year I just call them when I'm available and can help.
Pretty safe. Okay, I can come and help with this.
Sure.
Thanks so much for taking time to stop by and visit with us.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
It's always fun.